Welcome back, America, to All the Cars I've Loved Before, your podcast around automotive history, American history, and your history. It's where they all come together. In our inaugural season, hey, it worked for the Titanic just fine. We have a guest here today that could be ready to talk to you. This is Christian and my co-host.
It's Doug.
That's your prompt. Yeah, wake up over there and ensure while he's coming back from his sleep mode or hibernate mode, whatever he was in. Check us out online, carslove.com, carslove.com, where you will see pictures of the cars of former guests. We'll have an intake form for you to be part of the conversation. Join in. This is your podcast, America. So I see him nodding off, and let's, Doug, would you like to join the conversation and introduce our very esteemed guest today, Mike?
Oh, no. I'm awake.
There he is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian. So, and just a reminder, because Christian can't remember this, we're online with your favorite podcast. So whatever your favorite podcast platform is, you should be able to find us. To All the Cars I've Loved Before, or on the website, as Christian would say, carsloved.com. So, yeah. So today we have a great guy on board. His name is Mike. He is an IT professional. And Mike, you want to do a quick intro on yourself beyond what I just shared? Very little.
It's Mike Johnson, IT professional, like you stated, concentration on building large-scale networks and cybersecurity services. Long-time geek.
Nice. And so cars, probably a topic for another time, Mike, but you know, cars have lots of computer networks in them these days, depending on the age of your car.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a bunch of wires. Maybe it has fiber optics. I don't know.
And maybe they drive themselves now, right?
Yeah. So
they even, you know, they did back when I was a kid. You just kind of rigged a belt to the, you know, rear view mirror, and you just put a brick on the accelerator. It worked fine. I was reading something recently that said, you know, the thing these days is to be prepared for if you have to repair a car. 20, 30 years ago, there would be a wire hooked to a lever. And when you kind of did this, it was a wire moving things up on a hinge device. Now it's all semiconductors. It's all actuators, solenoids. So everything is moving by signal. And so when you go to have a car repaired now, you're not going to have a $100, $200, $400, $500 repair. It's now going to be $800, $1,000. 2000, talking semiconductors, specialized parts, to say nothing of supply chain constraints. So it really is a whole new world on the sophisticated cars that Mike was talking about. But really, I mean, across the entire spectrum, top to bottom. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, Mike. I did want to chime in there.
No. I want to add to your just a funny. Remember the days of the carbureted car, and I remember mid to late 80s, my dad saying, I don't want to buy a car that has electronic fuel injection. I'm like, well, Dad, the only cars left are Hyundai Excels. That might be what we end up with. I don't want that. And then, of course, next thing you know, he ends up with a car with an electronic fuel injection because those were the only choices.
I got to hop in here. My mom was a teacher and worked with a fellow teacher who, and this must have been in the mid to late 80s, who owned like one of the first Hyundais that I think was commercially available around. And the thing was just a hulking piece of something not real pleasant to look at, right? They weren't pleasant to ride in. They weren't, it was just not pleasing to the senses at all to be in it, to be around it. Boy, you look at the cars right now. Go look at, I visited the Hyundai factory in right outside of Montgomery, Alabama, where they make all the Santa Fe's in North America, Elantras in North America, Sonatas in North America, maybe, or at least a few years ago when I went, gorgeous looking cars. So it's really to just in the, you know, what is that, the past 20 or 30 years to see how things have evolved at car company. Anyway, sorry, we got to get to Mike at some point. He's the guest. What are we doing?
We do, if you wouldn't stop talking. So Mike, tell us about your first car you owned.
Any memorable car, yeah. He can talk about anything he wants to talk about. He's a guest.
He can.
Well, let me just interject one thing. That is, I wish today I could get a new car with a lot of, you know, all those options removed. A more basic car that maybe with some new technology, but I mean, I don't want my self-driving car, but I wish you could have a option list where you could just take some things off. But anyway, first car was a 1965 Dodge Dart.
1965 Dodge Dart, is that correct?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yes. What color?
It was white. White. And you'll love this one. It had a metal dashboard. I remember it was metal because I had to... I had speakers that had like magnets on that would attach to it.
Nice. Well, that's safe. So was this a two-door, four-door?
That was a four-door, and it was my grandmother's car.
Oh, nice. So it was driven by a sweet old lady on Sundays, right?
Yeah, so I got that from doing some extra chores or whatever.
I love that.
Doing something, yeah. That was my first car. I do remember my cousin always helping me work on it.
Nice. So you kind of earned it by working on it, helping your grandmother out. Is that right?
Yeah, the family. Yep, doing some things for the family. And then I got that was given to me after I got so many hours of work in, I guess. Yeah. But it was a solid car. It lasts forever. Took a licking and kept on ticking.
Nice. That's the way to do it.
Mm. I like that.
So did it have the famous slant six?
Yes. Yes, nice. It did. Yeah, with the round headlights and I'm trying to think what else was in that thing. I'm trying to remember. I think it may have been a column shift.
Column shift automatic, correct?
Not automatic, no.
Oh, three on the tree?
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. I'm trying to remember if that was that one or another one I had.
Ah, your grandmother drove a stick shift.
Yeah, I'll retract it. I do think that one was automatic.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember. I worked with a fellow once. This was, I want to say, shortly out of high school or maybe in college. And older gentleman to me, we're talking, I guess, in the 90s at some point. And he drove a Dodge Dart to work every day. Perfect. Immaculate. And he would come to work. He would park it. He would put the car cover on it. He would go about his job. At the end of the day, he'd come, reverse the process, hop in it, and go home. And I came up to him and I said, "Hey, man, you did such a great job restoring this car or whoever you had restore it." I said, "Really impressive. It looks back to showroom." And he said, "No, I've had this car since the day I bought it or whatever. And I've just kept incredible care of this thing. So, I mean, like you're saying, indestructible. Last forever, and hey, you know, just take care of the things you have.
Speaking of last forever, so Mike, you mentioned the redeeming quality about the metal dash, but what led you to move on from that car? What happened to the car, if you recall?
Well, I used that car during my early high school years. I think I was one of the first guys in the group to kind of have a car, and it took a lot of abuse.
I like where this is going.
No, we don't.
I mean, it had a lot of miles on when I got it, so it wasn't like it was going to last forever. But it was fun to go out in because you didn't care what happened to it.
I like that.
Yeah. A lot of stories there, definitely.
What happened in the dart stayed in the dart.
Yeah. I think it did eventually just die. And I remember, I think I had it taken to the junkyard.
Mm.
So it was on its last leg. It lasted a couple years, maybe. Then I was on to something else.
What was either the next car or another car of significance in your life?
Well, I will skip a car, but I mean, the next car was another Dodge Dart.
He's a fan of Dodge.
He's got a type.
But this one was a two-door. And if you ever seen the early 70s Dodge Dart, the ones they used to have at the racetrack with, it's a two-door. It's a nice looking car, But this was a sixer. I didn't have an eight-cylinder version, which I did, but it was console shift. But anyway, it didn't last long either. But the next car of significance would be a 1965 Buick Special, which I did have stored.
So what was so special about the Buick? I'm joking.
Well, it was 1965. It had electric seats, electric windows, and it had a 310 Wildcat engine in a Buick Wildcat. It was 300 horsepower, and it was a pretty... quick car. It was like a Buick. What is that? Skylark. That's kind of what it was. It's a Skylark, but a special edition.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
And that was a 2-door, 4-door?
It was 4-door, but it had a sporty edge to it. You know, well, it had a, not sporty, but it had a powerful edge to it.
Yep. Did you get in some trouble with that car, or did you baby it?
Not really. But I mean, I just remember going through having it painted and to factory specs. I got the paint codes. I remember I used to work at an auto parts store. I got the paint code, the original paint codes, and had it reproduced.
Oh, wow.
Paint codes.
Had the interior redone. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah, back in the day, you could look it up in the GM paint codes for that year, and you could have it remixed. And I think I added some metal flake to it, but it was blue and with a white top.
Sounds so pretty.
Blue interior. It was nice. It was nice. And then at some point, I had that for years. And at some point, I ended up giving it to one of my siblings because I think I was off to college and moving out. It was racking up some miles too, so I gave it to my younger sister.
Moving on out.
Yeah.
Yep. I get it.
That's a great big brother right there.
Yep.
Is there a third car in the sequence or that kind of rounds out either your childhood or as you moved into adulthood?
Or maybe in reference to the Hyundai, maybe there's a Hyundai lineage vehicle that you have.
Well, I mean, the current, my wife, we just purchased a Genesis GV80, which is the,
wow.
Yeah. Ultimate. Yeah, I guess. But, it was at a, 3.5 liter twin turbo. That's pretty nice.
So what year is that, Mike?
Is it, I guess, 2022?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Funny you mentioned, because I was talking to a fan of the show, and she was saying, well, how come y'all don't talk about more recent cars? I mean, the cars coming out today. Her favorite car is, I think, the GX60, which is the next step, the step down from the one you have, and that's kind of her dream car. So here you are, kind of tying it all up with a bow, talking about her favorite car and bringing things current.
I was just going to say, in reference to, we were talking earlier about the birth of Hyundai in the United States and how far they've come. Now they have a car you wouldn't know is a Hyundai at all.
Yeah.
It originally started as a Hyundai Genesis. Yeah. Now it is its own line, much like Acura, but even a step higher.
Indeed. I agree with that. I agree with that. If you look at the car, I've not been inside one, but... You know, an Acura guy, and we last episode we were talking a little bit about near luxury and what does that designation mean and what comes with that. Well, it comes with, you know, the seats are some leather and some pleather or some mix thereof, but it is a way to keep costs down. And for those for whom that's not a huge buying point or must have, then it fits in the budget more readily or more easily. Did you consider anything else, Mike, and as you were looking at that car? Or did they are so shapely, those cars. I mean, the beautiful from the back and the front looks kind of like nothing else on the road. Did you have your heart set on it immediately, or did you kind of back into that?
Well, my wife did a lot of extensive research on a vehicle. This is her vehicle, and she did all the research, and I tell you, it was right before. You know, things got really crazy with getting bank loans and things like that. But we ended up, we actually purchased the car maybe 6 or 8 months earlier, and then the Genesis dealers backed out, and they failed to deliver the car that we had ordered and paid for a down payment on it. So we had to fly down to North Carolina to get it because that it was right before all the
what the heck? I've never heard of that. Goodness.
Yeah, this was in the times when you couldn't get a car and you were going to pay a premium sticker or more and, you know, kind of post-pandemic just coming out.
Good point. Crazy times.
My wife, before this, had a Chevy Tahoe, and we loved it. But to Doug's point, I said, you know, when we were looking for a new Tahoe, because we had got so much good experience of having that one, we still have it. It's a 2007. I still have it. But when you went to buy a new one, you're not only dealing with the price of the vehicle, but the $10,000 surcharge on top of it. So if I have to pay that much money for Chevy Tahoe, it allowed us to look into some other areas because it meant, my God, why am I going to pay that a Tahoe when there's another class that's above that I could probably get into? So
good point. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. It is a little bit of an apples and oranges thing, but that's a curious, that is a curious turn to that story. Good deal.
And no regrets, right? You love the car, right? Your wife loves it more importantly.
Oh, she loves it immensely. I remember looking too at a Lincoln and they were top. They were putting on a 10,000 as well. And it's just funny how they're calling us back now though, trying to re-engage. I wouldn't buy it now from them, but they didn't want to drop that 10 grand then. It was funny.
Supply and demand then, for sure.
Right thing happened. Yeah. Good story.
I don't think they're selling too many now, though.
Well, you're happy. Most importantly, wife's happy, as Doug pointed out. And I think we're coming to the end of the conversation here as we wrap up. Any final thoughts, Mike?
I mean, the only other car I would chime in with was, you know, I've had a couple of Jeeps in my life, and I do tend to like, you know, the openness of a Jeep, like a, you know, I have a Wrangler or a CJ5 back in the day. Loved all those as well.
Rip all the doors off.
Exactly.
Well, don't tell too much. We'll have you back in season two. Maybe we can do an all Jeep conversation. But what do you say, partner? Any thoughts, Doug, before we wrap it up?
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to add something to the episode. I meant to do it sooner, Mike. But so the most popular car the year you were born was a Jaguar E-Type.
Beautiful.
So I won't reveal your age, but that was a beautiful car. You know, it'll always be part of you. And on the year you graduated high school, which I am told is 1980, but I can't believe it was that long ago, it was the Olds Cutlass. And I think it was just, that was the most popular car being sold in the U.S. So how far we've gone.
That makes perfect sense.
And here we are with the Genesis.
to wrap it up with a bow. Good stuff.
Yes.
Well, Mike, it was great meeting you. I can see the passion when you talk about it. We'll have to have you back in a future season. I think this is going to end up being our longest episode thus far, but hey, worth the time. Good to get to know Mike. As always, with my co-pilot, he says, find this podcast to all the cars I've loved before at your platform of choice everywhere out there. CarsLove.com, CarsLove.com, where you will see pictures of us, pictures of cars, pictures of our guests. And hey, submit something too. Also, if you want to be part of the conversation, we have an intake form. I call it an intake form. Doug doesn't like that term. But hey, we love talking about it and getting to know people and all the stories that bandy back and forth. So hey, we look forward to seeing you next time on To All the Cars I've Loved Before. Thanks for joining us, and we will see y'all soon. Take care.
Take care.